I'm so excited. We are here at the Vision Conference at Influence Church, and I've been interviewing each of our speakers. And I have to be a little biased, but honest. This is probably my favorite one. This is my son, Josh Hotzenpeller. And you know, Josh, I think one of the reasons is because I'm so proud of you. And not just the proud of being a mom proud, but the proud that you have taken the things that I think your dad and I poured into you, and you've taken what God has poured into you, and you have really listened well. You've really listened well. And as I sat there today, taking notes, it's so great when you get to take notes when your son or daughter or someone's speaking, and you really poured truth into me. So what I want to do in this interview is I want to share a little bit with our women of influence what you shared today, because you had some new truths that I've never heard before. And you know, as a leader, I'm always reading. I'm always trying to learn. But you had a new spin on that. And can you share a little bit about this affectious leader? What is an affectious leader? What does that mean? And where'd that word come from? And share a little bit with us, because this is good. This is really good, ladies. And I want you to listen well, because it could truly change how you relate to your boss, your children, your husband, society, if you can understand what an affectious leader is.
Yeah, so in my work, I get to interview really a lot of the world's leaders, achievers, and peacemakers, from CEOs and astronauts and diplomats. And I'm always trying to learn, gosh, what makes them a great leader? And as I started on that journey, and then also in the software space that I'm in, we're always trying to figure out this buzzword, engagement. How do we engage people? And I think engagement, what I begin to realize, is transactional. And so I started looking at, well, what is not transactional but accumulative? And the word bonding actually came up, that when things bond together, that they actually accumulate. And bonding happens through this word called affection. And so I started thinking about, gosh, what if you could be an affectious leader? What if you could not just do transactional leadership, but you could do accumulative leadership? I'm a big personality driver, demanding results. And those are great. I mean, people can look back at our work and say, gosh, look at all the new clients. Look at all the things we've done. We're winning. We're leading. And both of those are true. But just because I'm winning and leading doesn't mean I'm bonding and banking. It doesn't mean that I actually am starting to have accumulative deposits and relationships with my people. So I started looking into more about what it looks like to be an affectious leader. How do you build affection? And the funny thing is, like anything that is great, it's simple. And usually when things are simple, it's really hard. I don't know. I was with the CEO of WD-40, and he said, the hardest thing in the world to do is simple.
Wow.
That's the hardest thing in the world to do. Because it doesn't seem worth the effort. There's no way. And so affection's a funny thing. It's when you really look at how to build affection, it's simple things. It's physical touch. It's spontaneity. It's being specific. It's being gracious. It's these things that just come up. There's nothing crazy. It's simply saying thank you. It's self-awareness. It's being able to go, me too. You're not the only one. And all these little tiny soft skill behaviors is really what they are. They're soft skill behaviors. They begin to bank accumulative deposits into the people you lead. I'll say this, and then I'm kind of giving the whole thing away here. But when all you do is lead, when all you do is demand, when all you do is results, you will make ground. People will go, wow, look at all we've accomplished. The more you drive, the more you demand, the more you accomplish without affection, the greater risk you carry.
That's good.
Because you're pushing people to the edge. And they say winning, it covers a multitude of sins, right? And so as long as we're winning, you can take from me. But what happens when you lose? What happens when you misstep? What happens when one of your ideas doesn't work and you drove somebody away from their family and the weekend and all these things, and all of a sudden they go, you know what? I actually hate you. I love winning, but I don't love you.
Because you haven't built any kind of relationship.
No. And the only thing that has brought us together is winning. And so the second we don't win, we no longer have a bond. And so it's a great risk to a leader to lead without affection.
So really the whole business model is changing. I mean, obviously in my generation, it was, we were leaders and you do what we say, you come in when we say, you leave when we say, and there was no relationship. There was a hierarchy, obviously. And in somewhat we have that in business today, but talk us through just kind of like in simple terms. And I think Google has done this well, you know, with their all corporate offices, and people come in and they're on one level and they work together, even though there's different positions. obviously different pay grades,
sure,
et cetera, but they feel like they're a family.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think we're, let's just touch on that. Do you think we're going back to that because there's so many dysfunctional families today and maybe we're trying to find family at work? Where's some of that coming from?
Well, number one, well, there's two things that are driving it. One is who is leading in the workforce today. And number two is how they're leading. Who is leading is millennials and women. So they expect different things than past generation men. Men expect results and respect. And women are collaborative.
Mm-hmm.
They're compassionate. That's just the nature. Millennials are entitled. And so they expect to be heard. They expect their voice to play. And that is because they grew up in a gig economy. A gig economy is a shared economy. So the Ubers of the world, hey, I've got an extra 10 minutes. I can give that 10 minutes and get something. So I have a consistent value. Don't put me in a box. And so we live in this economy that's different than it's ever been before, led by leaders that are completely different. And when those two things come together, there's a different outcome and there's a different expectation.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I find is people say, hey, with our new leadership, with women playing the roles that they are, with millennials playing the role that they are, and with the gig economy existing, it's just a different example. And so you come in and go, wait a minute, I got an idea. Well, I'll stay in the corner. We don't care about your idea. Cool. Did you know that we're at a 17-year high? In the last 17 years, the highest quit rate.
Wow.
We're at the highest quit rate. Voluntary departures from work cost the U.S. $500 billion a year.
Mm.
Because people just go, I'm leaving. No big deal.
Yeah.
No big deal at all.
Yeah.
I'll either go start something because now I have the means to do it. I can start a multi-million dollar company on Instagram.
Yeah. Wow.
So no big deal.
Yeah.
And so all those dynamics have come in, and what it's done is it's actually raised the profile of every single person leader, and it's brought down the ability to make mistakes
mm-hmm.
as a senior leader.
Mm-hmm.
And so all of a sudden, you better figure out how to start having this affectious leadership or else.
Wow. Great insight. My mind's spinning because, you know, as a leader, and I'm
sure.
thinking my staff, and some of these things are really good for me to know. Let's touch on our few minutes left. You have a lot of opportunities to work with women.
Sure.
And I don't know if you can share with some of the companies you're working with, but you just came even from a very secular realm with working with women. What's your take on women in the workforce? You used two words. I really liked the words that you used about us being, I think you said, was it compassionate and
collaborative?
Mm-hmm. Talk a little bit about the role that you see. This is Women of Influence.
Yeah.
And a little bit about the role that you see with women today in the workforce.
I mean, it's a tough game for a lot of reasons. We shared this earlier. I mean, I have a lot of compassion and empathy for career women because I see my wife and how hard it is to raise kids.
Mm-hmm.
And for men, too. Men are raising kids, too. But you know, to try to advance in a career and also be all these other things, it is incredibly challenging. So I work with one of our clients, it's a network of executive women. They have a network of 60,000 managers to CEO level. And these are some of the biggest brands in the world, the Walmarts, the Unilevers, the Pepsis, the Cokes. And we sat with them last week and interviewing them, and every single, the president of sales for Intel, North America, I sat with, and she said, the hardest thing in the world for me to do is to, they keep saying it's not a lie that you can have it all. And it's a lie. And I don't know how to reconcile that.
Yeah.
And so what we're trying to understand and support is how through this shared economy, through these shared resources, can we all be effective? And that's so we're learning a ton. I mean, it's amazing to sit and discover and learn and support and say, how does software, how does collaborative voices, so for example, Wisdom Capture, it allows every voice to be heard. So anybody in the organization can put out, hey, help me solve this problem.
Mm-hmm.
And anybody can then share their ideas of how they do it. And it creates real-time peer-to-peer collaboration. I think tools like this will allow people to say, hey, I don't have to do all the heavy lifting. I think some of the things that are challenging for women is because they can multitask. One of the strengths that allows men to delegate is we can't multitask very well.
Mm.
So it actually, we're forced to delegate
because
we don't have the skills. Women have the ability to multitask, so oftentimes it could even be more difficult to delegate because you go, I can do it. I can get another plate spinning. Mm-hmm. Where men just kind of go, I tried that once and uh-huh. everything's shattered. And so I think to know who you are as a being mm-hmm. will allow you to go, hey, wait a minute. Because I'm so capable, I may end up failing to be really successful.
Yeah.
Which is an interesting thought.
Yeah, that's really, really good. Well, and I think coming together with the community that you're talking about is so beneficial, and it's given us some good insight. Well, I wanted to pick your brain for a few minutes yeah. and just let our ladies hear a little bit. You know, one last word I'd like you to give to those who are watching. It is a vision conference. And how would you encourage a woman listening right now who has an idea? You know, we didn't share a lot of this story, but you grew up in a home, in a very faith-based home, mm-hmm. pastor, kid, went into the ministry, and then God gave you this vision that you weren't afraid to step out mm. into a new mm. vision. What about somebody that's right now going, man, I got this thing burning in me that I want to do. What would you say? What would be your advice to somebody that has a dream that they really don't know what to do with?
Yeah. You know, everybody, when they get asked this question, we all say the same thing. Well, just do it, right? As if that's going to give you some magical power. Or spiritual power to just, that's all I needed to hear. I just needed to hear Josh say, go do it. I actually don't believe that. I don't think me saying go do it's going to do anything for you. I think what you need to start with is you cannot do it alone. Just so that's the problem, right? You're looking and you're like, I can't do this. And you can't. You're right. I am a CEO of 3 software companies. I cannot write one line of code. Code is math-based. I took pre-algebra 3 times. Okay. So I cannot start a software company alone. So what I would suggest you doing is whatever's burning in your heart, get a piece of paper and write down, here are all the people and skill sets I need to do this. And go find those people. Don't start just yet because you'll probably just make a mess of everything. Right? Everybody's just go do it. You'll figure it out. And that maybe that's true. But start with, okay, here's what I want to accomplish. Here's the people that I would need around me to accomplish it. And go bring them into your vision. Mm-hmm. Build the tribe. Again, back to the shared economy. Yeah. There's skills that they have that you don't have. Come together and collaborate. Mm-hmm. And then together through co-creation, start to build out your path to go forward. I don't like it when people tell me to go do stuff. Because you're then assuming I understand how to do it.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
Why don't we just assume you don't?
Yeah.
And that's okay. Because oftentimes, just because you have a vision doesn't mean you have solutions.
Strategy to do
so it. Bring people yeah. around you. Yeah. Be collaborative. Make the circle bigger. And it's amazing the things you'll be able to accomplish.
So good. So good. Well, thank you for your yeah. time. It always means a lot when you're here. Guys, I want you to take these tools. And right now, there's something burning, I believe, in your heart. Most of the women that are part of Women of Influence say that the greatest tool they get here is somebody who believed in them. Mm-hmm. And we believe in you. And take the resources that we've just given you, the insight and the wisdom we've given you, and do something with the dreams that God's given you. Thank you guys so much for being here. Have a great day. We'll see you again soon.